Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills. I'm your host, Kevin Misery. We'll be going into some hot topics of the week on your local daily podcast here on Locked On Bills. I'm here with Nick Wotan. Nick, how are you doing today?
Kevin, good to be joining you now. And I'm just going to say it right off the top now that we're semi on the same page here a little bit more than usual, because I think this is our first pod together now that you've joined us on the Bills Wire as a contributor. So I'm always happy to join you on Locked On and help you out. But since you're helping us out now, Bills Wire, we're happy to have you. Of course, I'm always available for Locked On Bills.
That's awesome, man. You can catch a lot of my written work over at the Bills Wire. A lot of my topics and some of the things we'll talk about here, we'll go into detail over there on, and I'll put up the occasional post that'll get you guys over there and reading, but kind of supplements my audio behavior here with Locked On. So for your daily podcast, and the Bills Wire does a daily podcast too, hosted by Jeremy, right?
That's right. That's right.
So check that out as well. You know, we're happy to promote that content as they kind of do a similar type of commentary show, and they have on different guests. But getting into it here for us, I mean, I wanted to immediately bring up the fact that obviously Josh Allen was named your starter for Game 3, an interesting topic that was done on a random Monday. They've only been naming their starting quarterbacks an hour beforehand, Nick. And then kind of out of the blue, they named their starting quarterback Josh Allen almost a week ahead, 6 days ahead of time before their game, again, nationally televised game against the Bengals. Do you think the national TV had anything to do with it? Or let's kind of get into what is the reasoning to this progression?
I think the fact that it's Josh Allen definitely had something to play into it. I mean, who are fans going to be most excited about? You're not going to get the kind of reception we got if A.J. McCarron was named the starting quarterback, or Nathan Peterman was named the starting quarterback, or if Tyrod Taylor was named the starting quarterback, right? So I think that had something to do with it. But I think tomorrow morning, now the Bills, we guess we're talking off the air here, Kevin, the Bills could change up the media schedule with the announcements. Sean McDermott was not scheduled to talk tomorrow. They're not going to throw previously scheduled offensive coordinator Brian Daboll out there for the hard-hitting Josh Allen question. So McDermott is going to talk tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. We'll be all over that at Bills Wire, but if I had to guess, McDermott's going to say something to the effect of he wants this week to be as close to a regular season preparation for Josh Allen, meaning sort of like the media attention, because when you go in there on Wednesday, the starting quarterback will usually have his own little press conference along with LeSean McCoy. At least in my experience, it's what it's been, even when it's been Nathan Peterman, the starter. Last year, prior to the Chargers game, he was the one up there talking. So I guarantee that that's going to be the case. You're going to see Allen at the podium. And I think today on the team's radio station, One Bills Live, Lorenzo Alexander said that he thinks that it has nothing to do with the competition, that Allen didn't quote-unquote earn this, that it was just kind of his turn. So I think we're going to hear a combination of that tomorrow, that it was just Allen's turn, and we want him to get used to a regular season week if he wins the starting job.
Wow. I mean, I think that here's a way to recap it for you, Nick. Is it a job that's his to lose, or does he have to earn it? If he goes out and plays well, is it his job? I guess that's the best way to put it. Or do you think that there's still some type of fake battle behind the scenes?
I'm conflicted here, Kevin, because I think I wrote a column of my own at BillsWire.com. That's like my fourth Bills Wire plug here. I'm chugging along today with the plugs. But I wrote a column that I think Nathan Peterman should start, actually, right now if I had to pick my starting quarterback. And it's because, just to name a few reasons, once you start Allen, you can't go back. You can't pull him. He has to be there for the rest of the year. If you go with Peterman, it's not just to go with Peterman. He's also performed well. Pro Football Focus has his adjusted completion percentage at 90% for the preseason. He's done great. Has he looked fantastic throwing the ball 60 yards downfield? Has he had the zip on it like Josh Allen has? No, of course not. But I think, in my opinion, Kevin, if you can give it a little bit more time with Allen, why not? Especially with that gauntlet of a schedule, 5 of the first 7 on the road to start the season. But to answer your question, if Allen plays well, I think I can't really commit to an answer, because it's going to be a tough decision, because if Allen plays pretty good and Peterman plays terrible, that could be another scenario that plays out. If Allen plays great, Peterman plays bad, maybe Allen plays terrible and Peterman plays great again. You know, there's so many different variables still that can happen in this one game that's left. And, of course, I forgot to mention this too. We don't know if Allen is going to play the entire game with the starters, and if Peterman's just going to play with some depth guys. Maybe they're going to split some time with the starting offense this upcoming week. We don't know yet. I feel like I still need some answers from Sean in the morning, if you will.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll talk about it a little bit now that he's named a starting quarterback for the game. And it's a dress rehearsal game, so I take a little bit more out of it than maybe somewhat in a say, oh, he's his third in the rotation. To me, it's their dress rehearsal game. You don't name a starter that you're probably not considering at least your 1A at this point. So even if they're 1A, 1B, 1C, you're going to start your 1A guy, and he's got the lead. If he plays well against the starters of Cincinnati, I think it's his job, Nick. So, I mean, I guess what's interesting is they only have two healthy quarterbacks. McCarron's injury came out to be a lot better than it was initially anticipated. Could even be back, you know, for the start of the season. I doubt he could win the starting job, but he could definitely be, you know, quarterback two come opening day. And they could, I mean, who knows? I mean, the whole order could be shaken up here, but he's not able to play for all intents and purposes for this week and or probably the fourth preseason game. I mean, I would assume it's at least that bad. Meaning, I mean, does Peterman play the entire fourth game? They're not going to sign anyone at this point, I don't think, even though you did put up a 7 quarterbacks the Bills could consider. But at this point, that's running pretty close to game day to bring in a quarterback and have him play in either game. So I don't know. Do you see Peterman playing the entire second half plus sometime with the ones and game four? Like what's going to happen here? I mean, they need someone to quarterback this team. And I mean, it's important because game four of the preseason, which is next Thursday, a week from Thursday, you're still getting 45 to 53 man on the roster fighting for roster spots. Although the first probably call it 45 plus are locked up. You still have 5 to 8 guys that are looking for a spot that need to play with a quarterback that's been here. I mean, I think that is that's definitely the challenging part of this whole thing. I mean, I wouldn't have any other discussion than,
yeah.
Do you continue to play? Do you play a guy that's been like, you can't just play a free agent. I mean, guys are trying to win a job.
Yeah. I'm almost shocked that they haven't signed somebody at this point, Kevin. I thought that come Monday morning we'd hear with Corey Carter going down. They kind of had a roster spot there. Unfortunate for him. The punter, they got hurt. You never want to see a guy get hurt, especially in the preseason and especially a guy kind of pushing for a roster spot with his ACL tear. I figured that his spot was good as right there was going to be quarterback. I almost can't believe that they haven't signed somebody. We've seen this franchise in the past have no problem paying Matt Leinart a couple grand to come in for a few games, throw a couple pigskins around, and then call it a day. You know, I figured that was going to be the case here. Hasn't been. So that kind of signals to me that, I mean, McCarron's got to be out there for at least the fourth preseason game then, right?
I think so. I think that
he's got to be.
I think he's got to be if his pain tolerance is good. And I mean, this seems to be, if it's not actually fractured, which it wasn't according to reports, it's a pain tolerance thing then, because there's no fracture there. There's no torn muscle. There's no torn ligament. Does it hurt? Because there's no technical injury outside of probably a bruise at this point, Nick. So when that bruise heals or is healable to play, probably not going to be Sunday, but it could very well be next Thursday, and they might just trot him out there for most of the game, right?
Yeah, that sounds right to me. I think a lot's got to be determined on this Sunday with Allen and Peterman, depending on how they play. I don't think the battle's going to go into the fourth preseason game, but depending on the splitting time with McCarron, because, I mean, McCarron played before he got hurt, and it just didn't go well. And I think what's going to also weigh into this equation maybe a little bit is how these guys do against the depth players that they've played, because if you look at it comparatively, Allen has played good with a little bit of talent around him, but McDermott has said he wants to see how Peterman and McCarron and Allen raise the games of players around them. And of the three, the only one that's really done that is Peterman. I mean, he's almost has a perfect completion percentage through the preseason. So I at this point, you know, it's got to be, I don't want to say too late to sign somebody. They can bring in somebody who can learn a couple plays in a few days, but I'm just surprised it's been till now. I don't think it's going to happen. And I think the loser between Allen and Peterman is going to end up splitting the fourth preseason game with McCarron. That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, and they're going to sit whoever, I guess, wins. But do have some great topics going. I did release my 53-man roster did want to talk about that with you, Nick, over a couple position groups on, you know, what you think if you're shocked at all. I want to go through, according to right now, Kevin's 53-man roster. We'll get into that in the next segment, and then we're going to end the show with some risers and fallers that Nick's going to hit us up with, as well as a new punter, John Ryan, is said to be signed here in Buffalo to compete with Colton Schmidt. A much-needed battle. I mean, I think it's really important on a team that prides himself on position, defense, playing really well and strong football. So we're going to get into a little bit of that at the end of the show. But, you know, first I wanted to mention Locked On NFL. You know, Matt Williamson hosts Locked On NFL, and he's got a brand new lineup. Every Monday, he will be the Locked On NFL local experts on the biggest stories around the league. Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus joins him on Wednesday, and ESPN's amazing Mike Sando joins on Thursday. And be sure to follow Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all to get all that amazing content. Good show over there. We have some of the best national people over there to kind of talk about all things NFL. So if you want more than just the Bills, check that out, Locked On NFL. I mean, now, Nick, I want to talk about the 53-man roster that I just released. I think it's really cool to kind of talk about a little bit. You know, I got a little bit of plug for it. So initially, I know you've read through it a little bit. I mean, was there anything that shocked you from what I, you know, selected? I mean, what would you change around, or what did you think about it?
I thought the boldest part of yours, Kevin, was the 7 wide receivers. Okay. That was, it's a heavy number for wide receivers, but as McDermott said, and as we talked about here in this pod, I mean, it's going to come down to where the Bills see their special teams playing out here, right?
Sure.
It's kind of tough for us to grade who they're going to put out there. I think the only guy on special teams who's really stood out so far to me is Marcus Murphy, who's also stood out as a running back, though. So I was glad to see you put him there as your number 3. Outside of that,
I know you don't, you know, 7 receivers. I mean, it's really that Streeter versus Riley battle. I mean, I'm considering Holmes a core special teamer, and a lot of people, I've seen him anywhere from 2nd to 5th on receiving depth chart alone. So I think his spot's safe. You have Streeter and Riley there. I think have both done enough to this point. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be, they're both healthy and they're both playing. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here on Sunday with that position group to see if they're going to keep all 7. I think to me, one of them is a special teams spot, but if Riley or Streeter don't get in on special teams, then neither of their spots are safe, Nick.
So. Sure. Yeah, no, exactly. And I thought another interesting nugget you had there was 5 safeties on the defensive side, but it makes sense. I don't mean it's surprising in a negative way, Kevin, but I mean, I think most can figure that Dean Marlowe is outplayed.
Yes.
Neal to this point really had a couple good back-to-back plays that just stood out against Cleveland when he was playing in his depth role, just came up, popped the running back before the first down sticks, and then the very next play made a diving pass breakup. I don't want to say solidifying his spot, but certainly stood out. And Neal stood out. He did have a sack last game, and I can't recall the quarterback.
Yeah, it was Stan. Lead-footed Stan. He came around the edge. Good play by Neal, but against third teamers. I mean, I think we were talking about this on the show last week. His athleticism alone might get him waiver claimed and developed. So if you're going to get a spot on Marlowe, who's going to play teams for you and going to be like a reserve guy, I think you're just kind of stashing Neal, maybe readying him on special teams if you're even making him active on game day. So to me, it's just like don't know that we can get him through the practice squad. Might have enough physical talent that someone's going to take a shot on him on the back end of the roster.
Yeah, he reminds me a little bit of 2017's Connor McDermott, who was kind of just hanging out in the roster and didn't really get any run. But Connor McDermott's kind of not really done himself any favors. He hasn't really looked too fantastic in the preseason. So I think Neal could basically just be your 2018 Connor McDermott, who's kind of hanging out there, and they hope he develops.
Yeah, I mean, they'll use a spot on that. I mean, obviously it didn't work out. Most likely McDermott, who I have out on the outs. I have the Bills only keeping 3 tackles just because I don't think it's a particularly strong unit of the Bills as their tackle group. I think there's some okay talent. I just don't think there's anyone that you need to keep behind Newhouse, which is their 3rd and swing tackle. I don't think Wesley was the player they wanted. Could be a position that they go out and sign someone at tackle. But as far as safety goes, Nick, I just personally think that they're going to roll with 5 safeties. It's an important part of their positional groups. I just think that if one of them gets hurt, they can mix and match. I mean, I'm still back and forth whether they Levi Wallace, the 5th corner, makes the team. They might go 4 corner, so especially if they're going 5 safeties. They don't play dime at all. Their 4th and 5th corners need to play special teams. They play nickel an incredible amount and will probably only have 4 active corners on game day, meaning that the need for a 5th corner is just pretty non-existent. That player is scratched and or only special teams anyway. So I don't know. Levi Wallace is another stash that I have that they might like if he can play special teams. So you have Levi Wallace being stashed and Cyron Neal. So, I mean, that's two D-backs that are stashed on this roster that they're pretty much just keeping around for potential and or injury concerns.
Yeah, I mean, this is not going to be the most analytical take, but you got to love Levi Wallace's story, right?
Right.
No. You got to love it being a walk-on at Alabama. Now he's trying to walk on to the Bills, essentially.
And he's outplayed Carter and Pitts. I mean, it's just a matter of if they, A, keep five, and did he beat up Borders? And I think to this point he has.
Yeah, I think in games he's looked better than Borders. In practices, you hear Borders maybe getting a pick here or there. But in games, I think Wallace, I'd give him the slight edge, and I just love his story, so I'm kind of pulling for him. I find it hard not to pull for a guy like that.
Yeah, and then a special cut I wanted to bring up real quickly is Tanner Vallejo. I don't think he's been very good. He's had his moments of showing something, but as a backup, you know, they've tried to play him at, you know, backup Mike and backup Strong. I think he's majority been playing across the different units, and I think I've seen him on the third team, but I just haven't liked what he's shown. I haven't liked what Julian Stanford's shown either. I'm just going to have them both cut, and I kind of have Keenan Robinson winning that sixth and final linebacker spot. He can do a little bit of everything. You can cover. You can play him at Mike if you need to. Obviously you have Deion Lacy and Ramon Humber, just two special teams. If you think they're going to get both of those, are going to get cut, you're crazy, because do they bring a lot to the defense? No. They're trying. Each of them have had their moments, but they're special teamers, and they're going to use linebacker spots four and five on special teams. Just, you got to know that.
Yeah. I think Robinson for sure at this point is got to be on this roster. I mean, he's so versatile. He's even played weak side, hopping in and out with, I mean, Matt Milano hasn't looked fantastic. I don't think his roster spot's in jeopardy, but when he was playing with the first team defense against Cleveland, you could clearly tell that him and Tremaine Edmonds, a couple young guys, just over pursued on one play in particular. That I ended up posting a video of. It was just Milano and Edmonds went completely to the left and Carlos Hyde went to the right, and it wasn't even close. So Edmonds eventually kind of flashed his natural athletic ability, yep, if you will, Kevin, by the time he sort of improved as the couple series went along. But Milano just kind of flashed in a bad way in the beginning for me, and just never really – he didn't recover like Edmonds did.
No, he didn't. It's challenging. I mean, he could have his job in jeopardy by Keenan Robb. I don't know. That starting position could be up for grabs, Nick. So we'll see what happens in game three. I mean, it's still been Milano. I think they're going to force feed Milano. They're going to hang on to him. He's going to be the one that they're going to ride or die with, I think. But there isn't a big gap there. So I'm not, as long as it's not Tremaine Edmonds getting hurt, I'm not really too concerned if the linebacker hit some depth concerns, because I don't think that there's a big downgrade from Milano to Humber or Robinson. I really don't. So we'll see what happens to that position group. But I do, that's only if you think Tanner Vallejo is getting cut, which I do. I do think they put a little bit of a precedent on those veteran linebackers like Keenan Robinson. So we'll see if that holds true and Vallejo is cut and stashed on the practice squad, which I have a big chance that he'd be one of their priority practice squad guys, which is pretty cool. My priority practice squad was obviously Ford, you know, Keith Ford, the running back. I have, mm-hmm, you know, Rodgers. I actually have their fullback that they just signed going to the practice squad. I could definitely see that happening. Prohl and McLeod, I think that, and Cam Phillips have three of their receivers that they're trying to sneak on. Maybe two of them will clear waivers. Maybe all three of them will. I definitely think they'll keep two of the three. But those are the three guys I have definitely as practice squad guys. Redmond, the center, I think that he's just prime for this roster. And he's going to kind of be like a 10th lineman of effect that's going to come up or down if they need him. Mike Love, a guy I really liked at defensive end. Borders, I think, is going to go to the practice squad. Vallejo and Ricky Hatley. Those are my projection of the practice squad. So, I mean, it's a pretty well-rounded roster, in my opinion. And what's really funny is that there's going to be two or three players on this roster, I think, from other teams. So we'll see how that works. Definitely is.
Yeah.
Plays a major role in it. As always, Nick, do you see a position group they could add from on waivers? Like, what's the most likely?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. It's Yeah, I was going to say that putting three guys at the tackle position is going to be an intriguing situation to monitor there. If your scenario plays out, I think the most likely guy they would keep would be Wesley, if they were to. But it's not, you know, I think that that fourth job was Connor McDermott's to lose. And I think at this point we're in agreement that he's lost it at going forward. So,
and Wessel sure hasn't won it. So
yeah. So it's, you know, it hasn't been too pretty there. And then the tackle positions, outside of that, I don't know. There's so many tight battles. I mean, the wide receiver one, it would be incredible, I think, if they got all three of those guys on the practice squad, right?
So it would be. I mean, I really think that one of them will get claimed. I think that there's going to be some claimed players on this roster. I think that there's some depth talent that a lot of people don't. I think this team is deeper in the middle and the back end of the roster than people think. I think there's missing some front end talent to be a really good team. But there's definitely some back end talent that I think they're going to make some hard, hard decisions at that wide receiver group that even I didn't anticipate. I mean, there isn't a lock solid, you know, at this point, you know, 2 through 4, there are some good players there that could develop. But really there's a lot of good receivers that deserve to be on this team. So we'll see if they go make, you know, fifth wide receivers for other teams, but
yeah. And even factoring into that, which really we should have brought up, is the tight end position too. Are they going to, we've been spreading a couple of those guys out we've seen. And I mean, Nick O'Leary seemed, I don't want to say dead in the water, but he definitely, his stock was dropping, only to really have a great game. I mean, you put McDermott said he wants to see the quarterbacks, as I mentioned at the top of the show, improve the talent of the guys around him. And when you see Nick O'Leary out there at the third teamers, boy, you better stand out. And he did. I mean, he played well. Four targets, four catches, a touchdown, 70 yards. So he put himself back into the equation, I think, at tight end. So that'll affect the receivers and just the special teams, and the dominoes just keep falling, and I'm glad I do not have to pick 53 of these guys.
Tyree Lee is their best blocker, who's been showing something in the passing game. So really decent third tight end option there for the team, or a guy that's always been on a roster, which is interesting. He's 26. He has not spent more than one day on waivers. He's been a guy that flashes something in workouts and has a lot of good tape out there, but at least with blocking and showing athleticism. So he's a guy that I can't think they're going to sneak through practice squad. He's going to be a guy that they're going to keep. So it's interesting. Like, will they let Logan Thomas go? Jason Kroon's a guy that's right now listed as third on the depth chart. So really big, some big decisions there. And I think that there's some talent, once again, that's going to get claimed. And this team really likes their interior offensive linemen. Wyatt Teller's played well. John Miller's shown a little bit more than he did last offseason. The big battle between Groy and Bodine, Vlad Dukas is just like entrenched. And this team really likes Ike Bodiger and Adam Redmond. So
yeah.
They have some decisions there at that interior line, and one that they think is a strength. So although we don't have that top end guard like Richie anymore, there are some solid interior offensive linemen, Nick. So I think it's going to be a tough call for McDermott and Bean to put it lightly. And it's going to be a tough unit. So I want to see you put your 53 together. I don't know when Nick's is going to come out, but I'm going to make sure to get a read into it. But I actually just want to mention that the Lockdown Network is expanding with college shows coming up, launching soon for Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, and the SEC, as well as Oklahoma, Baylor from the Big 12, Ohio State, Penn State, and the Big 10, and Oregon in the Pac-12, and a lot more college shows to come. So check out our Locked On College, kind of look at these prospects ahead of time. Levi Wallace was a great story out of Alabama, walk-on that the Bills ended up getting on this roster. And, you know, you can catch those stories and see if, you know, there's any other stories you like from around the league. Check out the Locked On Network college shows. Nick, wanted to talk about one quick final note. Any risers you want to talk about before the game?
Any riser, like stock rising, you mean, just on this team?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we mentioned Marcus Murphy already. I've been super impressed with him. He looks like he's pushing Chris Ivory for that 2 spot. I think he's not going to bring what Ivory brings at the goal line, but I mean, the numbers don't lie, and he's just had a good run in every game, and it's really been a testament to him. I mean, last game he did a little 1-2 step behind the line of scrimmage, and I don't want to say it was LeSean McCoy-esque, but it was just a quick step, and he's 20 yards down the field. I think that the Bills probably would have thrown a challenge flag in the regular season. And I think he was in. So I think he might already have 2 touchdowns in the preseason. Taron Johnson, it looks like he's getting a little bit more of a look as the preseason goes on at nickel corner. So that's him against Philip Gaines has certainly been a good battle to watch in the defense. I believe last game, Kevin, they were rotating in and out per series with the first team defense, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and Wyatt Teller, too, another guy who had a great game pass protecting and a guy that could win that job. You could have a bunch of rookies starting, I mean, including your nickel, you're including a guard at some point, quarterback, linebacker. I mean, your defensive tackle if Kyle Williams is out, you know, for more than a couple of weeks. I mean, you have potentially a bunch of starting players on this roster from their draft class as well as last year's draft class. I mean, Zay Jones could be your number two receiver. He's looked determined. Obviously, you have a, you know, stud in Trey White. And Deion Dawkins. I mean, you have a really solid young core of players that this team has finally potentially drafted well on for once, as well as adding to some solid veteran free agent finds. So I think that's really where the roster is being made and why they're going to have $80 million next year, Nick.
Yeah. They've done some good wheeling and dealing. I think that's easy to see. Brandon Bean's done a good job. I mean, after the mess that they had with, you know, Marcel Darius.
A cap mess, too.
Yeah, just a cap mess that they had. It's opening wide up, and I think next year this team could be something okay. Especially with at the top of the show, again, we were talking about the quarterback situation. If that can get some tread going here at some point in the season, I'm not saying immediately, but as we said, once you go with Allen, you got to go with him. So that's why I kind of want to go Peterman at first. Once Allen goes in, you're riding or dying with him for the rest of the year. So, but I think regardless this year, I think we're going to see Allen in there, getting some experience, and then that combined with next offseason, that has some good potential.
And $80 million with a $5 million quarterback over 4 years before his option. If the quarterback's good, I mean, you're able to build a team, especially with all the rookie salaries that you're going to have from the two draft classes. Really good note there. I mean, lastly, Nick, we have Ryan, the punter signed from Seattle, a guy that's held for Hauschka. They're really close friends. Big breaking news there that the team's finally addressing the punter position. And on a veteran guy that's usually considered a top 5 to 10 punter. He's, you know, wavered last year. The Seahawks had a terrible coverage unit that really skewed a little bit of his net average. They actually had one of the worst kick and punt coverage teams in the league, which is interesting. So, Nick, any quick thoughts on that? I mean, you know how passionate I am. I'm not saying John Ryan's the future or the I don't even know how much better he is than Schmidt at this point. I just like to see that the team's like, you know what? He really is a struggling punter. Ranked dead last in most categories in 2016, like rebounded a little bit last year. But I mean, a guy that just focuses too much on hang time. And the next thing you know, it's going 39 yards, 42 yards. I mean, it's like, you got to do a little bit more than that.
Yeah. I think I've been a little bit of the, little less negative Kevin, on the punter situation. I definitely tend to agree with you that it is a position that you still want to get your best product out there on the field. And there's just been a lot of scenarios, it seems, where just Schmidt, just there's a punt where, like you said, really that was only 39 yards. That was 38 yards. You couldn't put a little bit more on that.
You're an NFL punter, Mike.
Yeah. You know, he and actually, as we're talking here, John Ryan's deal is a 1-year deal with the Bills. It was just announced. So yeah, they're going to have the battle officially now, Kevin. And I'm interested to see how he can push it. It's almost a little worrisome. You got to take it with a grain of salt because he's a punter, right. 36 years old. He's up there. He's now the oldest player in the Bills. But I think he's going to push Schmidt for sure. I mean, 36 years old, he has a ton of experience. And I know McDermott likes versatility, but the guy's got a few touchdowns in his day. I believe 7 in his career.
NFC Championship game, right?
Yeah, I put that. I remembered him. I put it in our post on Bills Wire as soon as that's like a 10th plug for Bills Wire here. I put it on there. I was like, this guy did something before. And I looked it up and I was like, yeah, that's it. The crazy and how she was lining up for the kick, too. So that chemistry is there for the fakes.
Hey, it's got to be something that Crossman's, you know, salivating over the potential for his unit to take another step forward. They actually released Tyler Davis, the kicker, who just had I've never seen a backup kicker not be able to hit an extra point and a kick inside of 45 yards in back-to-back kicks. So he looked like college. Looked like watching mid-major college football with Tyler Davis, unfortunate, because he had a big leg out of Penn State. But Bills have officially given their kicker job to Steven Hauschka, surprise to many, and heatened up the punter battle, though, going with the John Ryan versus Colton Schmidt battle, an interesting one that we're going to definitely cover next week after the first game. Then I'm assuming they're going to probably split the reps here in game 3 and game 4, and we'll talk about that. But from Locked On Bills, this was a great, you know, your local daily podcast. You know, we're going to give you the breaking local news. We're on the ground. We're boots on the ground. We're watching this stuff. We're not just kind of looking at it at a high level. We focus and we're pay attention to detail. Nick is on the beat every day with a bunch of new stories. So, you know, this stuff isn't just us kind of pulling up some stats and talking. This is stuff that we do that we're passionate about. But from Locked On Bills, this is Kevin Misery, and that's Nick Wotan.